podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Thanks for listening. Here's today's message.
When you look at the world today, what do you see in it that you're like, this is gross, this is evil, and this is wrong? I'll give you 2 seconds to think. And go ahead and turn to your neighbor. Tell them one of the things that comes out in your mind. What is something that you see in the world that is wrong, that is evil, that you don't like? Go. All right. I didn't hear any, but I'm going to throw one out here and see if anybody said this one. Did anybody say pride by chance? Okay, probably not. That's the one we're talking about today. But typically when we think about it, when we think of that question, we think of things like murder, rape, slavery, racism, adultery. I mean, these big words, and these are all terrible things. They are. But today I want us to think about, we're going to talk about pride. And it's one that if you think about it, is actually underlying a lot of these. And actually ends up being the problem for a lot of us. So anyways, if you would with me, open your Bible or open your device and swipe it on over, whatever you got to do to get yourselves to 2 Kings 5. It's going to be in the first part of your book. If you see a big book called Psalms or Proverbs, it's before that. As we're going there, we're going to be talking about two people today. It's going to be a guy named Naaman and another guy named Elisha. So those are our key two people that I want you to look out for. All right, let's read it together here. Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria, which is not Israel, by the way. He was a mighty man of valor. We're going to stop there so we don't get distracted by the last five words. I think it's a little hard for us to grasp reputation of a military leader. Anybody in the room know any of our current generals in our army? Or I don't either, offhand. I didn't Google it today. But it's just not as common to know that kind of stuff. Whereas in their time, it was. Like, you would know this is the person that's leading the army. It's very present. And Naaman, being the commander of the army, he would be a certain status. And he would expect things a certain way for him, right? He says it was a great man with his master. He had high favor because the Lord had given victory in Syria. I mean, it keeps on going and lifting this guy up. Now, to help us kind of get a picture of that, I think of the royal family, the British royal family. This is most of them, I believe, in the picture here, although I think one of them is a little bit on the outs. But either way, they're still a part of the family. They have a certain way of life that is a little bit different than, well, the rest of us, right? And they have a certain expectation for how things go. They're treated in a certain way. It's not like if I want to go and meet with any of them, it's not the same as me going and saying, hey, I want to go meet with Jess, or I want to go meet with Matt or Sally in this room. Like, it's a little bit different. You kind of have to set a couple things in motion. You probably won't even get just a meeting. Anybody's tried to meet with the queen? I mean, I haven't, but I just think that it'd be really difficult. And that's because they have so much going on. It's because they have such a high reputation and there's so much protection around. There's so many things into it. And that's how Naaman is. He's got that same kind of reputation, that same kind of expectation for how he should be treated. Well, let's keep on going. We're going to look at this next chunk of verses. It's 2 through 8, and I'm actually not going to read them for you because I don't want to get distracted. Not because of the Bible we get distracted, but because we're focusing on Naaman and Elisha today. So I'm going to summarize it here just to give you what's happening so you know for the rest of the verses as we talk. So in this chunk, we have a young Hebrew girl who was taken captive at some point by the Syrians, and she ends up getting courage because she hears that Naaman has this big problem, that he's a leper. I'll talk about what leprosy means in a second. But she goes and talks and gives him a plan to get rid of this leprosy. And she tells him, hey, if you go and you see this prophet in Israel, you could be healed of your leprosy. The prophet at that time's name is Elisha. There we go. We've got our two people, Naaman and Elisha, right? So leprosy, I don't know if you know about leprosy, if you've seen it. It's a lot more rare these days to run into that kind of a thing. Leprosy was the sickness where your skin would turn white in areas, and it was turning white because it was dying. And not just dying on the surface, it was dying deep. Like, it would go deep into your body. It would be painful. And it would get so bad that people would lose limbs over it. It was just a painful, terrible disease that he had. And to think of this, so now he's obviously this man of great reputation. He wants, I mean, as any of us would, wants to get rid of this leprosy. And this girl gives him the way to do that. If you don't know or you haven't heard the word prophet before, prophet is somebody that goes ahead and says, hey, these things are coming. Fix yourself so you can be right before God. That's what a prophet is, and that's what Elisha does. Let's keep on going. Naaman then packs up his things, and he grabs a bunch of items to go and bring them to Israel to basically trade. So that's what would happen if you ever see two great leaders meet. They typically will bring gifts as a way to just saying, hey, I appreciate you, I respect you. He wants to bring these things to say, hey, I know I'm coming. I want you to heal me of this leprosy, and I want to trade for it. I'm going to bring these things for you. Next thing that happens is that the king of Syria gets on board, writes a letter to Israel. That's how much formality we are in. Just, again, we're thinking of those kind of steps, the things that have to happen. The king of Israel gets scared. He's like, oh, I don't think I can heal leprosy. I don't think that's in my repertoire of things. And he gets scared because Syria's right next door, and Syria and Israel didn't get along often. And so he's thinking, oh, no, I can't do this. You're sending this guy to me, and I can't fix him. Now it's going to bring war. Well, Elisha steps up and says, nope, you know what? Send him to me. I'll heal him so that they know that there's a prophet in Israel. And ultimately, what he's saying there is that they know that God is in Israel. All right, let's jump into this next verse, verse 9. It says, so Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Now, Naaman did what he was supposed to do. He goes right to, in his eyes, the man that's going to heal him, right? Goes right to the doorstep, and that's typically what we would see. So I'm going to show you a picture here. Regardless of what you think of our current president or the queen, they had a meeting this summer, and he flew in on a chopper and lands on the grounds, and he's greeted by the second in line of succession, which I'm sure some of you are well-versed in who that might be, so you know who I'm talking about. But either way, he is immediately greeted by the second in charge there. Then later on, you see him shaking hands with the queen. He later meets with the prime minister. It's a big to-do. It's 3 days of planned events, everything from where they get the guard and they're all standing at attention in the front, and the president and the queen walk by, and they basically inspect them and decide if they're doing well. They also have a tea later on, an English tea. I don't know if we do that here or not, but they did it there anyways. And then they have later a big dinner, a big ball, and this is over several days. Again, this is a little bit different than if I want to go and meet with Peter, somebody else in the room. Like, we probably don't have 3 days of events and checking out the guard, and maybe we'll have tea, but it's not quite as much of a to-do. So this is what Naaman is expecting. He's expecting this kind of thing. I come right to the man meets me. That's what he's thinking. So let's see what happens then. So let's go on to verse 10. It says, and Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored and you shall be clean. Okay, so he has this expectation and it's not met. I mean, he expects that he's going to be met at the door by Elisha or at least somebody who's like close to him. It says here a messenger. That tells me that it's not somebody of high rapport, of high reputation. It's just somebody who goes and says, go on down to the river and do this and you'll be healed. I mean, there's no meals, there's no ball, there's no inspection, there's no tea time. It's basically, get out of here. I mean, that's what he's thinking. That's what Naaman's thinking. And he's sent on away. Let's go on to the next set of verses here, 11 and 12. But Naaman was angry and went away saying, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Naaman's response, he is irate. I mean, he is mad. Now, we could look into our culture right now and pull out some probably recent stories of certain leaders that get snubbed. Or maybe you watched the Oscars recently and you heard something about somebody being snubbed there. I mean, this is common. This happens all the time. I'm not even going to go into those stories because they're so common. And even as I just say the words, we can think in our minds of people that may have been snubbed or disrespected publicly. Or maybe not even just a big, high person. Maybe it's just you. Maybe you've been snubbed at some point. This happens a lot where our prides clash. We snub and we get snubbed. And this is the response typically. Anger is a symptom of pride. It's a tell. If you notice yourself getting angry, this is because pride sometimes I think is really hard for us to see in ourselves. It's easy to go and look at our neighbor and go, hey, you got a problem, right? It's easy to look at them and go, yeah, you're a little bit prideful. But it's a little bit harder to see it in ourselves. So that's one thing that you can look for, one thing that I've had to look for in myself. And I think of a story, actually, of myself, and I want to share it real quick. So in college, I had a pastor that was teaching us about 4 common things that college students typically deal with. It's loneliness, depression, overindulgence, and you can guess the last one, pride. And me being my, hang on, let me see if I can do this right. My cool self. I was like, yeah, I can see how I've got the struggle with the loneliness. I can see that from time to time. And you know, yeah, the depression, I can see times and periods where maybe that's been a struggle. Self-indulgence, okay, maybe I play a little too much Xbox. I don't really struggle with number 4, though, pride. That one's not it. I think I'm good there. No, in and of itself, I think you can hopefully laugh at me with me because that's a prideful statement in and of itself, right? I don't struggle with pride. That's the only one of the 4. It's almost like I'm raising myself up. Like, yeah, I'm just a little bit. I can see how we all struggle, but I don't struggle with pride. And ugh, it brings up a bad taste in my mouth when I think of it for me. It took me about 2 to 3 years to realize that that's what I was saying. It takes a while sometimes, and that's my prayer for us today. That's my prayer for myself, that God would continue to reveal those things. God would continue to reveal our pride. So let's come back to Naaman. His his issue here is pride. And I want to talk about, so right down in there, we're talking about the Jordan River. And in verse 12, he's talking about a couple other rivers. So I don't know if you guys have seen the Jordan River before. I haven't either, except in pictures, but this river looks disgusting. I mean, look at that. It looks, I'm not even going to say it because you can think it with me, of what the water looks like. Now, I have been a little bit hesitant to go into certain rivers in this town and certain parts of it, especially growing up. I knew that there was a certain little waterway that would come out of a business in the area that I just avoided. I didn't swim there. I didn't eat the foam. It's just, you get the picture. But this is the river there. I don't see any foam, but it's disgusting. Like, gross. I don't want to go in that water. And this Naaman knows this. He's like, all right, you're telling me to go down to this nasty river and that's going to clean me? I mean, seriously. What does he say right in that verse 12? He says, Arna, Abana, and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel. Could I not wash in them and be clean? I mean, that makes sense, right? Like, if this is some magnificent Caribbean blue, crystal clear water, like, yeah, I kind of want to go in that right now. I mean, but that's just not the picture we get here. And so, his end, he turns away in a rage. He is furious. Now, I want to pause here before we even go on to talk about what happens and whether he does the right thing or not. Because if he stops here, he misses out, right? He misses the blessing that God has for him. And ultimately, this is a test for him. This is a test for Naaman. Because God wants to know, are you going to set aside your pride and allow me to be in that place and listen to what I have to say? Are you willing to do that? This is big. I mean, I think it's bigger than just his leprosy. It's his understanding, his relationship with God, and ultimately what's at risk for us as well. Now, I want to make a statement on pride in general. I think sometimes pride gets a really bad rap, which it sounds like I'm giving pride a bad rap today. I don't think pride is always bad. There's times when we can boast, but it's in the right thing. It's in the right place. And I want to talk about a story real quick. Out of 1 Samuel, I'm going to flip to it. If you want to, you can flip to it too. I'm not going to read all the verses. I'm just going to tell you the story. It's 1 Samuel 17. This is a story about David versus Goliath. Now, this is a common story in the church and that you would have heard or that you may have heard before, but it's a little bit different to think about it in the aspect of pride. So I wanted to talk about it today in that way. So what happens is Israel and another nation, the nation of the Philistines, they are at war. And to stop the war or to have an ending where not everybody gets killed, they're like, all right, we're going to send our best person to fight your best person. Now, the Philistines' best person was this mammoth of a man, just huge. And not only was he huge, but he was trained in war. So, I mean, there's people that are huge that may not be super ferocious, but this man was. Like, he is huge. I mean, it goes into detail about the size of the sword, the weight of the stuff that he's carrying that most people just wouldn't even be able to lift up. And he comes out and he's like, hey, Israel, what are you going to do about it? Somebody step up. Somebody come on out. Bring it. No? And Israel does, and they're all squirming back to their tents. They're scared out of their minds. And this boy that we don't know his exact age, but it would have been somewhere between 13 and probably 18 years old, David, hears of the battle. He has no training in war, no training. But he comes and he's walking around the camp and he's like, what are you guys freaking out about? I mean, what's going on? Like if somebody steps up, what's going to happen? If somebody steps up, what did, because the king had talked a little bit and said, hey, you know, I'm going to, for somebody that is willing, I'm going to reward them. What's going to happen if I step up and do this? And the king hears about it and he calls David in. He says, hey, I want to talk to you. And this is the part that I think we need to hear about how boasting might be different. So I'm going to read these couple verses. I'm in verse 32, but you don't have to necessarily be there. It says, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go out and fight with this Philistine. Saul is the king here. He says to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. And he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, and this is the part that's huge, your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and where there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. I mean, he's this is some confidence, right? This youth comes before the king of Israel, and he's talking like this. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And this is where it turns and where we get the picture of why this is different. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. That's the difference. It's his focus is on, I am who I am because you made me that way. Another part of the Bible talks about, for nothing that you are has not been given. In other words, you have been given the gifts that you have. The band that was up here just now, they have been given those gifts, and they have been given those gifts to bless and to honor God. Your gifts may be a little bit different than the band's, or maybe different than anybody else in the room, but God has made you and given you those gifts, and that is God-given. To have confidence in that is to go, I'm so grateful for what my God has done, and therefore I can have pride in that, and ultimately I'm actually boasting in God. So there's a difference there, and I wanted to make sure that I said that. So let's come back then. Let's talk about this. What Naaman says. So let's see how it ends. Let's go back to 2 Kings 5, 13 through 14. But his servants came near and said to him, my father, it is a great word that the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash and be clean? All right, so again, I think this is some big courage coming up from the people. I don't know if you've ever read any stories of people that have confronted a king or confronted a leader and how that went, but typically not too well, right? I mean, they're thrown out, they're banished, they're killed. Like, doesn't turn out very well, but these servants step up with courage, and I think they do it in a way that's gentle. And that's the key, because sometimes we need our friends to help us, right? We need our friends to help us see the pride in our lives. But if you are going to be that friend, be gentle. The Bible also talks about seeing the plank in somebody's, I'm sorry, seeing the speck in somebody else's eye when you have a plank in your eye. In other words, you see something in somebody else, but maybe you're going to need help because you might have something in your own life. Be gentle as we speak with each other. Let's go on to verse 14. I'm sorry. Yep, 14. So he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Naaman realizes it. He realizes his error, and he actually does it. He humbles himself, and he goes on down to the river, and he bathes seven times. And he's given that blessing, And ultimately, I think he's given that relationship. My question today to you is this. Naaman is receiving the blessing of God. Will you? Will you receive that right relationship that God is offering? Will you receive the blessing that he wants to give you, which is ultimately a good relationship with himself? We have a God who loves you madly. Will you receive it, or will you continue to keep your arm out? Will you continue to let your pride take over? I speak this to myself too, I mean, even as I was talking about earlier just with college, but I speak as one of us that I need to hear this. I don't want to miss this. We need to take Naaman as an example and fill our lives with humility. We can't just remove this pride only, we've got to fill it. And that is with humility. And so when I think of what it looks like to be humble, I think of a little child, and I think of a verse. I'm going to just read it for us. And it says, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So what does it look like to be humble? It's going to be where we lift somebody else, where we're willing to lift somebody else up. We're willing to let somebody else take the center stage. Ultimately, it's where we are willing to praise our God. I'm so grateful for that opportunity just a few minutes ago where we were able to praise God together and to sing to him. And we're going to have that chance again in a moment. And that's what I want you to think about in that moment is this is putting us in a right spot with God, praising him and putting him in his right place and us in our right place. If I can have the band come up at this point. So I can go as far back as, let's see, what time did I get up? Maybe about 7:30 this morning where I myself saw pride in my own life. And just, it's silly because I already preached once on pride yesterday, and this morning, yet again, I'm struggling with pride. And I mean, it's so prevalent, and I need it so often. So maybe today you need to admit it to God. You know, allow God to clean you. Accept his gift of a relationship with him, which is ultimately what our God wants, to help us to get rid of the things in our lives that we put there to separate us from him. As I think about that, I think maybe there's somebody in the room that hasn't even accepted Jesus or hasn't accepted that gift at all today. Or maybe today you're thinking, well, maybe I need to recommit. And if that's the case, I'm going to pray in a second. And I just encourage you to pray that with me. Just to pray about a right relationship, a good relationship with God, that he cleans us. So would you bow your heads with me? Father God, you are so good. I thank you so much that you have made a way for us to be right with you. I thank you for the story of Naaman and the blessing that you have given, that you gave him. God, that you allowed him, that you revealed to Naaman that he needs to turn to you. God, if there's anyone in this room today that needs to turn to you, God, I pray that we could, my hope is that we could pray together this prayer. God, I am wrong. And I have wronged you. I'm so sorry. Would you be my God? I accept the gift of your son, Jesus, what he has done for us. I am yours. God, would you just move in this place as we prepare to lift our voices high to you, to remember that you are God, to praise your name, to lower ourselves, and to lift you up, because you are God. We love you so much. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for inviting us back. In your name we pray. Amen.
This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Visit bridgewaycommunity.org for more information and other messages.